Blog Talk Radio.
This is Whirl with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, let's see. Well, it's sunny outside. The temperature right now doesn't look like it's that cold. Thank goodness. And it's not raining. It's flooding, shall I say. Well, we got a good show, though, right here. First of all, boy, you're gonna not need your stove less and less these days because we have another kitchen gadget. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of a Vitamix or use a Vitamix. And it's like it's a, you know, blender that does everything, even like you could make soup in it. I mean, it heats it up. You can't put, like, any raw foods in it. But now we come something that even tops that from a company called Bellini called a Kitchen Master. Now, well, this thing, it cooks, I guess. Well, actually, we're going to talk to Justin. Dustin. Who's going to tell us how this whole thing works. I have a lot of the parts with me. The thing itself is in here, but I know what it looks like. But I want to hear how this works before I even try it. Then also, most people, you know, they get gifts on Mother's Day and things like that. And one woman got this absolutely fabulous gift from her husband. Mary Pine got a gift from her husband, Fran, of alpacas, and with that they got some land and opened up a B&B in Pennsylvania. So we'll have her on the show as well, but right now, well, you know, after all, a message from my delicious sponsor.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these absolutely wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. I wonder if you can even make brownies in this. Well, we're going to find out all about it. Hello, Dustin.
Hi, Merle. How's it going?
Okay. You know, I have to first tell you, like, I couldn't haul in the machine itself, although I have it in my brain, you know, looking at it,
yes,
and
of
I said,
it is.
"So I brought in like the parts that come with it. They're right in front of me, and I said, oh, okay, and now I'll have. Well, I thought I had the instruction book, but I went, no, this is for the electronic scale, and then there's two recipe books. I got to go for."
It definitely comes with a lot of different things, and that's how you're enabled to do all sorts of different cooking requirements with it. That's one of the great things. So
what I want you to do is explain the introduce yourself, of course.
Yes. I'm Dustin Skew, and I'm from a company called Cedar Lane Culinary, and this is our brand new product. So we're based out of Toronto in Canada, and this product is actually from Australia. It's very, very popular there, and it's very popular in commercial restaurants. You know, as they're very busy, they don't always have time to stand over the stove making their sauce or stirring their custard. So the Bellini does it all for you.
Wow. Okay, so try to get people to get a picture of what this is. Explain.
Right.
Oh,
so,
by the way, now are you? And so, in other words, what you did is you at the show, the houseware show, you brought this over from Australia, or this is something? I mean, where was this actually invented?
It was invented by an Australian company, and we've been selling it in Canada, primarily in the province of Quebec, for the last about 8 months, and it's been going very, very well. So we brought it to Chicago for the IHA Houseware Show, and we're blown away by the interest and enthusiasm, not only throughout the United States, but especially worldwide. So there is a competing product that is about three times the price that is used heavily in commercial kitchens all across the world. So they have no retail presence. They have a very strange distribution model. It's kind of like a Tupperware party distribution model. So when we brought this in, anybody who knew what the Thermomix was came rushing over and is currently in the process of getting all the booklets and stuff made in their languages, and we'll be shipping worldwide very soon.
That's really fantastic. So you're saying, in other words, there's something like similar to this that of course I wouldn't see, because I would find this, let's say, in the kitchen of a restaurant. You mean
right? If you went to a middle of the range, high end restaurant, almost anywhere, they probably have at least one of these style of machines. It's called a thermal blender or a thermal mixer. So basically, it can do everything that a high-powered blender can do, but like chop, mix, knead, dough, all that kind of stuff. But it also has a 1,000-watt heating element as well. So you can actually cook from scratch all in the same bowl. You only have one dish to clean up afterwards. And you mentioned in the intro, some people say, you know, your Vitamix heats up as well, but that's just due to friction. You can't really throw in raw chicken into your stir fry or whatever. You need an actual heating element, and that's where the Bellini comes in. So
actually,
so
you're kind of replacing, what would you be replacing? I mean, in other words, you can throw everything in and not have to use your stove, let's say?
Yeah, for many things, you absolutely can use this in place of your stove. It also replaces a blender, obviously, food processor, steamer, rice cooker. It comes with a kitchen scale as well, so you can weigh out stuff beforehand. It is kind of a new way of cooking. It's a little bit less tasting as you go and a little bit more following the recipe, putting exact amounts in, so you'll weigh something out to, you know, 1 ounce or something exactly instead of eyeballing it. And that's what we're all about at Cedar Lane, is scientific cooking equipment. So we have, you know, we focus on sous vide cooking machines, thermal blenders like this, those gourmet whips that use nitrous oxide, all the cool stuff that all the high-end restaurants have been using, and we find affordable ways to bring those to the home market.
Wow. This is... Okay, so...
So let me take you through a dish that I explain to a lot of people
Now that I can't seem to find the one that has the instruction, I'll have to look at that going, wow, where is that one? Okay, go ahead.
So it looks kind of like a normal blender. It has a steaming attachment that can go on the top, which makes it a little bit taller. And the idea is you can replace a whole bunch of those appliances that you use, you know, once a week or twice a month, And that way you've only got one thing on your countertop that can do all this type of things. So, example I use a lot is a chicken, bacon, and pea risotto. So, risotto is
you're
delicious, fantastic.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that I can make this entire, that this entire meal just using this machine?
Exactly. With only one dish to clean up afterwards.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah, all right.
So what you do is you would take an onion and some garlic, put it in the bowl, chop that up for 4 seconds on speed four. So it has three different knobs. One is the heating power, the temperature, goes up every 10 degrees. The next knob is the time, of course, and then the speed. So it has speeds 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So for if you wanted something chopped fairly well but not super fine, you'd do a speed of about 4 or 5. So we throw that in there for 5 seconds. Then we so now we've got the onion, garlic all chopped up. We add a bit of oil, and we add raw chicken and raw back bacon, or Canadian bacon, as I believe you guys call it. And so then that all sautés on speed one for about 8 minutes. So you're actually sautéing the onions in the oil. The chicken is starting to cook. The bacon is starting to cook.
Okay,
you come back
so
in 8 minutes.
Let me interrupt you a second. So in other words, once you start doing this, everything doesn't have to be chopped, in other words. In other words, you're not throwing it in and, like, it's going to – everything totally pureeing.
No, no, no. Sorry. So for the chicken – I wouldn't put a full chicken breast in. You would kind of chop it up into the size you wanted beforehand. So there is still a bit of prep because you don't want pulverized chicken. You want nice little cubes, right?
Okay.
So once that's been cooking for about 8 minutes, so what you do, you set the time. Then you go and you work on your other side dish, or you help the kids unpack their homework or whatever. It's designed for busy families just like it's designed for busy chefs in the kitchen. So you have your chicken bacon now cooking. You come back 8 minutes later, you add your chicken stock as well as your risotto rice, and then that is going to cook for another 22 to 25 minutes. So instead of standing over the stove, stirring your risotto, making sure it's not going to burn, stick to the bottom, overflow, have too much water or the stock evaporate, the Bellini is actually going to stir it for you at the same time as it's cooking. So it's completely hands-off. You just adjust the couple of different settings, and then you come back in 25 minutes. After that time, the rice has absorbed all of the stock, and you've evaporated off the rest. You're getting towards the finishing point here. Then I add a bit of Parmesan cheese and some peas, and then have that cook and stir in for another 2 to 3 minutes, and then you're done, and you have an amazing risotto. I make this all the time. I've never made risotto before. I'm not much of a cook, or I wasn't anyway. But now it's ready to go. It serves about 6 to 8 people. It's absolutely delicious. You can salt and pepper season it as you wish. But then here's the coolest part. You're going to have a bowl that's got kind of sticky rice, sticky risotto residue all at the bottom, in the blades and that kind of thing, kind of tough to clean. So not only is every component of the Bellini dishwasher safe, but you could actually put a bit of dish soap back in the jug, add some water, run it at about 100 Celsius, so that's about 212 Fahrenheit, for about 5 to 10 minutes on speed 2 or 3, and it will actually heat that water up with the dish soap and stir it at the same time. So you're going to have all that residue released from the inside of the bowl. It basically, it's cleaning itself. So then you would dump that out, and you'd have, I mean, you'd still have to give it a quick wipe down, but all the hard, terrible work is already done for you. So not only does it cook everything for you itself, it even cleans itself. It's pretty amazing.
So in other words, what does the point of having one of these is not just like with, and I'm just using a Vitamix as a, you know, because it's such a, you know, big deal. Because when you use a Vitamix, you can't just turn it on to heat.
No, there's no actual heating element. It's just friction. So the faster
you
go, it'll get.
With a Vitamix, you got to keep it keeps chopping. You don't have an option of saying, okay, I don't need you to chop anything at this point. I just need you to cook.
But it doesn't have a stirring speed, because of the blades and how fast they're going,
that makes something hot. Whereas you have a heating element in this that cooks.
Right. So with a Vitamix, the only thing you can really heat up is a soup.
Right.
Ours makes soup. I don't even talk about soup because it's so easy. Of course it makes soup. It makes phenomenal soup. The tough ones that people don't like or rarely make themselves, especially from scratch, is something like, a hollandaise sauce. So in the Bellini, all you do is add a stick of butter, 2 or 3 egg yolks, I believe, and a bit of lemon juice and cayenne pepper, and set it for 90 degrees Celsius for 4 minutes on speed 1, I believe, and you come back in 4 minutes, and it's a perfectly cooked hollandaise sauce. It never breaks. Gorgeous consistency.
Wow.
And you did it all by just adding a couple of things. And in 4 minutes, I mean, it's phenomenal. So now you know what you're feeding your family. You're not just opening one of those packs that you buy at the grocery store and just adding water and milk. You're actually making a proper from-scratch hollandaise, and of course it's going to taste better as well. So things like that, hollandaise, béarnaise, crème anglaise, stuff like that is just the beginning. The recipe booklet comes with a whole bunch of full main course recipes, beef stroganoff, cheddar broccoli soup. You can knead dough in about 6 seconds. And, desserts,
okay,
of course.
Can you make a cake in it? I mean, can you?
You can make the batter for a cake or for brownies, of course, for sure, very simply.
But in terms of the batter, but will it, if you say,
but you wouldn't want to bake it in there because then it will come out in the shape of a jug, not a cake.
No, even if it came out in a weird shape. But I'm just saying you can actually throw it in.
I don't recommend people to actually bake their baked goods in it. I mean, if you want it a weird shape, you definitely get it. The problem with that is the blade, even in order for it to heat, the blade does need to be on at least speed 1. So you would have the bottom of it would get all cut up. So what people do when they're talking about making dough or brownies or stuff like that is they make the batter, same with ice cream, you make the batter or the ice cream base in the machine, and then you would cook it in the oven in that instance. But most things can be cooked right in there, but anything you want a particular shape, you would need to use the oven as well. And then if you're making the ice cream base, we're fortunate enough to have liquid nitrogen on hand, so we make some instant ice cream, but you would just put it in an ice cream maker if that's what you had around, for sure. But
okay,
the idea
so
is,
now,
you know, that 20 minutes of creating the base and extracting the flavors, it's all hands-off time, so you can actually spend some time with your family, your guests. It makes entertaining so much easier because you can actually greet people at the door instead of standing there stirring whatever you're stirring. So I love it. I take it to the cottage. I've been invited to a whole bunch of weddings that I probably would never have been invited to because they know that I give these as gifts.
And so now, for instance, and I'm just thinking of things. Can I make chocolate pudding from scratch?
Yeah,
absolutely. Cook it up? Okay.
Yep.
What about, so in other words, let's say, for instance, now, when you said, add chicken broth. I know that I could make my own chicken broth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What you do is just put all your bones and leftovers from the chicken you're making the broth from, add some onions, some garlic, and you can kind of cook that, simmer it for about as long as you would do for a normal stock, except it's all hands off, and it'll stir it slightly so you'll get even better flavor extractions.
Okay. So, in other words, you could do that and then put that chicken broth away and then use that for when you have to add chicken broth.
Oh, absolutely. And that'll be a more authentic, like what I normally do is I just buy the chicken broth from the store, but that's because I'm just getting into cooking myself. I used to be a grilled cheese guy, So I'm definitely expanding my horizons with all these new toys I get to practice with. And it's made me quite – I actually just had 72-hour short ribs with mashed potato puree that I made in the Bellini, short ribs I did in my sous vide, and that was my lunch at work. So it's I'm kicking it up a notch here for sure, and I'm surprised how easy it is. It's awesome.
That's really so cool.
The thing I haven't even mentioned yet is
yes.
The steaming attachment, which will go on top of the bowl, has
right.
two trays. So at the same time as you're cooking that risotto, you could add some asparagus or some salmon into the steaming trays, and then you'd have steamed asparagus, steamed salmon, and you've got, you know, there's a three-part meal covering all the bases. You've got your protein and your veggies and your starch, everything, and it's all in one machine, one dish to clean up. Like I said, it'll clean itself, or you can toss it in the dishwasher. So it actually uses the steam that's already coming off of it to cook stuff in the compartment above. And then, of course, you could just fill the bowl with water and cook that at the steam temperature to steam anything if you didn't have anything going on in the bowl. You can just use it as a steaming function only, of course.
Well, let me ask you something. Can you, like, I know I had tried, although it never seems to come out right with me. In the Vitamix, you were able to take, like, you can make ice cream because you're putting in, you're freezing cubes, I guess, of the milk or cream or whatever, and doing that. Can you make ice cream in this by having, you know, the elements that you need, you know, can you do that?
Something that would actually freeze it as it's mixing?
No. In other words, what you're doing was you're not putting in, rather than putting in milk, or, you know, you're putting in, you're taking the milk, let's say, or the
right.
or cream, and you're freezing it beforehand. You're
oh,
putting
I
in
see.
The freezer.
That way, yeah, so that way when you're
have
actually
you
cooking the base.
You have tried that?
I haven't tried that myself. Like I said, I'm a little spoiled having liquid nitrogen
okay.
around all the time.
Oh, yeah. I'll experiment with that because I'm curious to see, you know, like if it can do that. And then it doesn't come out, you know, then you could take it out and either eat it then or just, you know, continue freezing
it.
But I
yeah,
would, you know,
absolutely.
I'd be kind of, you know, I'm just kind of curious about that.
That would be a good one to try. I know if it'll work in the Vitamix, it'll work in the Bellini. For sure.
Well, yeah, then I guess, you know, you could, I'm sure then you can make, what do you call it, sorbet? You could do
oh,
a
yeah.
sorbet in there. Because, I mean, you're basically getting ice cubes.
Yeah, exactly.
And putting it in there with,
so
I guess,
pulse
that
all those
sugar and the fruit.
Absolutely. It pulverizes ice in matter of seconds. You use the pulse function, and so that's what I use it the most for is smoothies, but that's just because I make smoothies every day, so that doesn't involve the heating function at all, but
right.
it turns ice into a little ice powder in a couple short seconds. Then I throw in my strawberries, banana, milk, or yogurt, or whatever, and off to work I go.
Wow, okay. I'll have to remember that, too.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you
well,
think
you
is
start
probably,
playing around?
What do you think is the most complicated thing that somebody would make that you could say, oh, and you could do this right in here? Can you make spaghetti and meatballs?
Example.
In other words, can you have the pasta? Can you have the pasta cooking and then like? I guess, I don't know if you could steam. Can you steam pasta? I don't know.
I don't know if you can steam pasta.
No, I don't think
so. You could certainly make spaghetti and meatballs. It would be in a couple separate steps, of course, but what you would do, you'd have the meatballs from scratch, so you'd throw in all the flavoring and the ground beef and mix all that up in the bowl, and then you'd take all that out, create the meatballs. I don't think you'd want to steam meatballs, so you'd probably cook those in the oven, and then at the same time you'd wash the bowl out and then fill it up with water, and yes, you can use it just like a pot on your stove. It'll heat up, boil the water, drop the pasta in. It comes with a little bowl as well, so it's very easy to get it out. It's a straining bowl right inside, so you actually... It comes with a spatula that hooks onto the side of the strainer slash bowl, and then you pull it right out, and it strains instantly, and then just add your sauce and your meatballs, and yeah, you'd be good to go.
Now, I just thought of a very interesting thing to make that takes a really long time otherwise. I don't know, have you ever had moussaka?
No, it's a Greek
dish.
I don't believe I have.
Okay, it's a Greek dish, sort of like eggplant parmesan. But what happens with moussaka is the reason it takes so long is first you're making your own, if you want, you're making your own sauce. The second thing is in terms of the beef, you usually, unless you have ground beef that's doesn't have too much oil, then you're cooking up the beef. Then you also have to take eggplant, and you have to, well, that you can't do in this because you have to fry eggplant. You can't. Okay. And the last thing that you have is a bechamel sauce. You know what that is?
No, I do not.
Right, you'll have to kind of look it up. It's kind of like it's a creamy sauce that usually has, I think, like eggs and Parmesan cheese. I forget. I haven't made it in a while. But the whole thing is that because you're doing this, if you're doing this from scratch, and then there's also potatoes, this is a whole thing. But if you're doing it from scratch, you're making each of the items first in order to, to bake it. But if you can do, like, these things to get done quick enough, in other words, you can, I guess, make your own, I would imagine that you can just take the chopped meat and the sauce in this.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Yeah. Sauce is one of the things that does extremely well.
So that you can at least take care of that part of having your own tomato sauce with the chopped meat in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can fry things to some degree.
Oh,
just
yeah?
By, putting a couple inches of oil in there and then dropping in whatever you want to fry. Now, for that, if you were doing that at the same time as you're making the sauce and everything, you'd probably want a second bowl. So a lot of our customers will actually buy the machine, which comes with the jug and the scale and all the parts, but then you can buy a separate bowl as well. And that way, if you're making one thing and you're done, you can just put it in the fridge to let it cool or just keep it aside, and then you can work on the next part and then combine them at the end as we're talking about now. So all the technology is actually in the bottom of the bowl. It's very cool. The bowls, they're not cheap because of that. They're about $70, possibly $80. But then when they connect with the actual housing unit, the technology from that combines with the heating element in the bowl, and that's why you get such precise temperature control and as well as, the ability to switch the bowls out. So.
Wow. This is really cool.
It's something else, that's for sure.
Well, what we're going to do, by the way, is I'm going to have you back on the show after I've cooked some stuff in it.
That would be great. I'd love to hear
And then
your,
I can, I can talk
review.
About... what I went through and, what I thought and kind of, I guess, I don't want to say compare. Well, sort of compare. I'm not going to, I can't compare it to the Vitamix because the Vitamix is not cooking.
It's kind
but
of
I
a
have
new category.
But I have, like, other gadgets. Like, I have the new wave oven.
Right, yeah.
And I have the portable induction cooktop.
Oh, yeah, I've got a couple of those, too. They're
great. Yeah, so, and it's like between those two already, I haven't used my oven since I bought this stove 5 years ago.
Well, that should be saving you some money on your hydro, I would think.
Well, it's just, you know, when you have things that, especially like with the new wave oven, I'm not there. I don't like microwave
right.
oven. So when I'm dealing with in these two particular gadgets, I can say, oh, I don't care what it. Something can be totally frozen and I could still cook it. Oh, which
yeah.
is a great question. Can I cook something like the, oh, I don't know. Let's just say I'm just in my brain. Let's say I have a piece of chopped meat and it's frozen. Can I set it so it can
cook that.
Kind of defrost
at
the same
lower temperature.
And then turn up the heat?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just like anything, it would be better if you had time to just let it defrost naturally just because it'll fit in the bowl a little easier, but by all means, you could start on a lower heating, just start defrosting it, and then as that's happening, you could crank up the heat towards the end for sure.
Okay. Yeah, that occurred to me.
Any of you want to see what it actually looks like, because I'm sure that's important to people.
Yes, we have the website.
Yeah, so if you go to Cedar Lane, like the tree, cedarlaneculinary.com, we have a few products there, but you'll see it. It's called the Bellini Kitchen Master, and we've got some videos there, some recipes there, and it's also available on kitchencollection.com. They're a large U.S. chain, so they're selling it online to begin with, and then we're moving out from there.
Does it make a difference price-wise of who somebody gets it from?
No, they sell it for the same price as we do, which is $5.99 in the United States. In Canada, we sell it here for $6.99 because everything's more expensive up here.
And by the way, we mean $599. You don't mean $5.99.
Yes. Oh, no. Once you see the machine, there's no way it's $6.
Right. I just
it's
want people to get when you
equipment.
Say $599, you know, what we're talking about.
Right,
but it's,
right.
And, it's, and, you know, if people wonder, like, oh, my God, well, it's probably worth it when you want to cook. Whether you're cooking for your family or you're just, you know, hey, if you're cooking for yourself and you want to, you want to treat yourself.
Or if you're in the market for a blender and you're already going to spend $500 on a blender, should definitely, without a doubt, buy a blender that can cook as well. Even if you only start for using it for whatever smoothies and food processing and that kind of stuff, eventually you're going to love the heating element. And the fact that you can make all these sauces and risottos and stroganoff and soups, custards, all sorts of stuff with zero hands-on time. It really frees you up to do all those other crazy things you have to get done between getting home from work and getting to the kids' baseball or soccer game. So it's a lifesaver. I use it at least 5 times a week.
Okay.
And we actually had Renee, the founder of Sur La Table, which is a large American kitchenware store. She put it as one of the top 10 things she saw at the IHA show in Chicago. So we're pretty excited about that and getting some more widespread distribution.
All right. Well, I'll be writing about it right after I use it. I have done already. I threw it in a couple of things already. Now that I'll try it, then I'll be able to write some more of what
Absolutely.
What have I
There's a bit of a learning
created.
Curve, but it's not as intimidating as it seems once you've tried it a couple of times.
Okay.
You'll love it.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing this information. And as
thank
I said,
you for
having continue with this soon.
Okay.
Okay. Have a wonderful
Great,
day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Well, now I have to actually play with this item and cook with it, but which has nothing to do with alpacas, of course. We're not going to heat them up. Okay, so we have Mary Pine's on the line, and she's going to tell us about what she got as a gift from her husband, Fran. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Merle.
So I understand you got an unusual gift for your anniversary. Your wedding anniversary.
Yes.
This wasn't a first anniversary present.
Oh, no, no. This would have been 34, I think. 34th anniversary.
Okay. So this is not on the list of, like, what you get somebody for the 34th anniversary gift.
Not typically. No, I don't think.
Okay. Well, tell us about this. By the way, so tell us the story. How did this happen, and what did you get?
Okay. Well, my husband and I were looking to downsize our home, and we had a 4-bedroom, 2-story, and our kids had moved out. So we were just looking around thinking possibly, I live in Pennsylvania, and we were going to get a small place here in Pennsylvania and possibly a small place in Florida. So we had visited Florida a couple times. This has been 2.5 years ago, I guess, now, and that was kind of the plan. And he came in one Sunday morning after taking our dogs for a walk, and they walked across the street on the property that was there because it had been vacated for about 3 years, and so there was just an area he could leave them run a little bit. And when he came back in, he said, "Hun, what would you think about running a bed and breakfast?" And he completely took me off guard. And so as I questioned him a little bit, he said, "Well, the property across the street has just gone a little bit lower in price, and I think that could be a fun move for us." Well, he caught me totally off guard. And I was thinking going smaller, and this property is 4.5 acres, and the home is a little larger. And so initially, I was like, "I don't think that's going to work. I'm just not geared for that." And the more I thought about it, slept on it that night, and when I woke up, I thought, "Oh, I've always been intrigued by alpacas." And so I said, "If you throw in a few alpacas, maybe we could come to an agreement and we could pursue that." And so we kind of started on an adventure at that point and looked into purchasing the property. And it was just, a couple weeks or a month or so later, we celebrated our anniversary. And so he took me to Eastland Alpaca Farm in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania. And we visited there for about 3 hours, I believe. We were holding baby Prias and just able to see a lot of different alpacas. And we learned a lot that morning, and that was kind of what started our whole process to get alpacas.
Now, how do you pick out the alpaca that you want, by the way? I mean, it's different than a puppy, I guess, you know?
We actually did, since we were able to go to the farm. Now, initially, I did forget this. Initially, he had looked online, and the ones he was finding online, they started at $30,000. And so he came back then, and he was like, "I'm not sure that we're going to be able to work this out." So I was teasing him then, and I said, "Well, then it's a deal breaker. We're not definitely not going to look at the property." But as he got in touch with the farmer, Kevin Thurin, who has the farm of alpacas in Mount Joy, which is local here to us, he found out that there's all different qualities of fiber. And so with that in mind, and like I said, as we went to the farm and visited and got to see the different ones, that's their fiber is what makes their what they're worth. So we were able to purchase pet quality. So when they get sheared each year, their fiber actually just is used for like stuffing and filler and that kind of thing, instead of actually putting it on a loom and spinning it out into the wonderful alpaca yarn that, you know, you see sweaters and things made out of. So our animals are just pet quality, but they're still great. They're still great animals.
How many do you have?
We have three of them.
How old are they now?
Freddie is 5 and a half. Wilson is Bryce's 2.
Oh, my goodness. So, and I didn't realize that the, how does, like, in terms of the quality of the fiber, I mean, how does, are there certain type of breeds that, like, you would know what kind of fiber you're going to get with an alpaca?
I think it's based more like just on the animal and their line of you know, how they've been bred and how their line flows like that. I don't think it's an actual type of one. I think it's just on the line. So
I guess
yeah.
I'll find out when I go there. I'll have to ask. It's funny because I had gone to an alpaca farm in upstate New York, and they didn't mention anything about, you know, in terms of whether it made a difference of the
okay.
type of. So this will be another interesting thing to find out. So in other words, do you take advantage of like stuffing a pillow or using it for things to stuff something?
Well, this will be the first year. This will be the first year that they had actually just gotten sheared when we were able to. We had to get our pasture ready and all that. So that was a little bit after our anniversary till we had everything together and ready to go. So they had already been sheared last year. So now they're just coming up this Saturday, actually. They're going to get sheared. And I would like to keep at least a bag from each of them, because one of them is dark brown. Freddie's dark brown. Bryce is kind of a real pretty tawny color. And Wilson is almost a very light tan, creamy color. So I want to have a little bit from each of them, and I'm hoping to maybe put together some grapevine wreaths and put some of that on, because the birds absolutely love that when they're making their nest. I guess it just makes it nice and soft, and so that's what I'm hoping to do with some of the fiber.
So eventually you'll get into like. Let's stuff a pillow. Let's
possibly,
you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. I guess, but it's also like keeping it as like keeping your baby's first tooth. I guess, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but that's so interesting. What kind of dogs do you have, by the way?
We just have one Bichon. We had two, and we lost, it was actually a mother and a son, and we lost the mother in the fall. Her name was Mandy. She was 14. So now we just have Max. But they're great dogs. Max is just an excellent dog.
Does Max get along with the alpaca?
No, they tend to be a little jumpy if Max walks out to see them.
Okay.
So we kind of keep them separated.
Tell us about so when you bought the B&B, I mean, it was what you did was buy basically a house and you said, let's make this into a B&B.
Yes, it had actually been renovated in 2000. It's an old farmhouse. The original farmhouse was built in 1870s. And then, like I said, there had been a renovation done in the year 2000. And the people that renovated actually ran a bed and breakfast for 2 years. And then they moved on from here, and just a private family, a couple with 4 children, moved in. And they were here for, I think, 4 or 5 years. And then, unfortunately, their marriage dissolved. And so when they split up, they both just moved out. And so the property sat empty for, about 3 months shy of 4 years till we actually were able to settle and move in. It was vacant for that long. So at that point, then we just had lots of work. There was lots of outside work. Nothing had been taken care of shrubbery wise, and so we had a lot of outside work to do. And inside, we ended up doing a lot of work as well. We redid the kitchen and. Just did a lot of flooring that, after 12 years of wear, it was just time for updates. And so we worked about a year, and last July, I guess, we were officially opened for business with our bed and breakfast. Yes.
That's really great. So in other words, with the in terms of having a B&B, one of the, I assume, like a basic thing of doing is that you're putting in a bathroom into each bedroom kind of thing. Isn't that like what you're doing?
Well, and that was done. Yes, that was done with the renovation
that was already
in
done.
2000. So, yeah, that was that had been taken care of then. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how many rooms are there that you – now you live in the house itself too?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Okay, so you have your own quarters, and then there's how many rooms that are rented out?
We have two rooms that we rent out currently, and I'm working on the third, hoping within the next week or two to have the third one ready to put on our website to rent as well then. Yeah, so
oh, okay.
We'll have three. Mm-hmm.
And all three will have, it's all private bath and the whole
yes.
bit?
Yes.
Okay, and I guess I'll find out. You know, it's like a little more than a week away that I'm going, oh, this is right, creeping up.
Right, right.
Yeah, because, and you're in, now, are you in, is Columbia the town that you're in? Because this is supposed to be one of my destinations.
Yes, we're actually just outside the borough of Columbia, probably not even a full mile, no more than that. And so, like I said, we're just a little north of Columbia.
And so what town are you actually in, considered to be in?
That's our address. That is our address.
What is Columbia?
But we're outside the borough limits, yes.
Oh, okay. No, I was kind of like, you know, because I saw some areas near – like, is it Marietta or something?
Yes, Marietta is just a tiny bit further up the road, probably
okay.
a mile and a half up the road. Yes, it's another
small
community.
So in terms
community.
Of exploring the area, what would you recommend that I make sure that I see?
Oh, well, there's really a number of things for it being a small town. They have a National Watch and Clock Museum, which was actually just listed in the Smithsonian Magazine as Columbia being a place to visit, and that was part of that. There's some Civil War memorabilia history in the town. There's lots of antique shops that Columbia has really come around as far as being a destination if you collect antiques. There's a number of shops. And we have Turkey Hill Gary. It's maybe 5 miles or so outside of Columbia. And just recently they took an old warehouse and turned it into it's called the Turkey Hill Experience, which you can walk through that, and it's kind of like a museum, and just kind of shows you their whole history of the dairy, and they make good ice cream and iced teas and things, milk, of course. And so there's a number of things right there. And then the Susquehanna River is right here, too. And so there's lots along the river. There's good hiking.
Is there any boat rides?
It's called...
Not public, in other words.
Well, there is a company, Chickie's Rock Rentals, I think they're called. And I'm not sure that they have, like, a large boat that they take out, but they do, like, kayaking on the river and that kind of thing, yes.
Okay.
Might be a little chilly for that.
that's what Lori's going to do. Lori does kayaking. I don't do water.
Okay, well, they do, and they're well-known, and it sounds like – I've never actually kayaked either. My husband has, but it sounds like they do lots of fun things. And as I said, that's right here as well, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Well, I'm looking forward. And did you need to – because of having a B&B, did you need to learn to make certain things for breakfast now or –
Well, you know, I've always enjoyed cooking, and I've been involved, especially through my church, with different ladies' groups and Bible studies and that kind of thing. So I would often help out in that capacity and with summer camps as well, like cooking breakfast. So I had a pretty extensive line of things that I enjoyed making, and so it's just kind of worked really well. I just pull from them.
Do you have, like, your signature thing that you make purposely?
Well, one thing that everybody seems to really enjoy is called a German apple pancake. And it's made in an iron skillet, and it bakes in the oven. And it's just, it's a different kind of dish. I'm not exactly sure how to explain it. It's not like a typical pancake that, you know, you put on your griddle and flip. Like I said, it bakes, and it gets all
right.
Cooked up in the oven, and then when you pull it out, it kind of drops. But it's just really, everybody really enjoys that. And I have a number of different egg dishes, and I do have 9 hens, so I have free-range
so
fresh eggs.
Eggs.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That's great.
So, people enjoy my omelets and different egg
now,
dishes. So,
on the website, did I see, like, some water or something?
We have
pond
a pond out back. Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We have a nice-sized pond out back. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Anything in the pond? You got any ducks or anything?
Well,
fish?
We actually have a swan. We have a swan and fish. And I just looked out a little earlier, and there's a pair of mallards that have been hanging around for about a week and a half now. And a little water turtle had come up on the edge, too. So,
oh,
yeah.
How cute. We'll take.
Yeah.
Going to certainly take lots of photos. It sounds, you know, it also sounds like a place to, like, chill out a little, too.
That's kind of what we hope. That's what we hope our guests can do when they come. Yeah, that's, we feel like, you know, if they tell us in their review or in our guest book that they were able to relax and just have a great time and like you said, kind of chill out and kick back, that's, we feel like we've done a pretty good job then. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope we don't have to really chill out with this weather. We don't know.
Oh my!
What to expect anymore.
No. I hope too. I hope it's going to be nice and warm up and no rain for a while.
Yeah, just a nice sunny day to, you know, to totally relax. Okay.
Right.
Well, I got to tell you, I am really so looking forward to coming to your place. It's really something for me to write about. You know, I like to find places that I can feature when I'm writing, as you know, as opposed to, I mean, I have, you know, nothing wrong with a Hilton, but in, you know, a Hilton's a Hilton, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The Marriott,
yeah.
The Marriott, that kind
sure.
of thing. But you
sure.
know, but I like, you know, something to say, hey, you got to go to this place because. You know,
we're really looking forward to having you with us. That'll be great.
Yes. Okay, so, it wasn't so bad talking on the radio, was it?
Nope, it was okay.
Yeah. Did you tell Fran that you were going to be on the radio? Or you haven't told
I
you
did.
Yet?
Yes,
oh, okay.
I did tell him. He's real busy, and I called him, and I said, "Hun, guess what?" And he's like, "What? You got a minute. Hurry up, talk." So, so I told him quick. So, yeah.
Well, fortunately, this is all archived.
Okay, very good.
So you'll be able to, he can listen to this
afterwards.
Okay, very
good.
And you could, even if you want, you could throw this on your website.
Oh, okay.
Say, yes, you could put this up on your website and say we had an interview with the writer Merle Exit and whatever, and here's the link, and, you know, yeah, you could do that.
Okay,
you can
very
even,
good.
And I'll tell you, when I'm there, I'll tell you what you could do with it, too.
Okay,
well,
sounds great, Merle.
So looking forward. Have a wonderful day. I think no, I'm not going to eat any alpaca meat. They don't do that, do they? They don't have
I
to do
hope
that.
Not.
No,
I,
mean,
I don't think
eat,
so.
I mean, I've heard of people having, I think, even camels that they make whatever. But they've never done anything with an alpaca, right?
I've never heard of
God
it.
God only knows. I hope.
I don't think
I
want to know.
I wouldn't even want to. I wouldn't even want to
no.
think about that. I just want to pet
no,
them.
No.
I just want
that
to pet their
good.
Little heads and feed them.
That sounds
that's,
good. Yes.
That's all I want to do. Okay. I'll see you in about a week or so.
Okay. Thanks, Merle.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay. Yes. Lori and I will will be there, and we're going to check out the place, and I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully, with my schedule and stuff, I'll have time to cook something in the with the kitchen master by Cedar Lane, Bellini by Cedar Lane. And I need to go find the instruction book. But, of course, like you can go to the website, and, you know, they have, I think I remember that you could see a video. God, please help me find the instruction book. Okay, well, I'm going to end my show now because I want to. I have things to do. So until my next show, whenever it is, have a great day, evening or morning or wherever you are, and the chickens are sleeping, so that's what's going on. So that's why you haven't heard them, and I figured I'd let them, you know, sleep. That'll long day yesterday. So, okay, until then, goodbye, everybody.